Welcome to the weekly sermon at Generations Church. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Melissa Hale.
Today, we're going to explore the core essence of God, and by doing so, we're going to discover our true identity in Him. I mean, no big deal, right? It should take us 10, 15 minutes to unpack that majestic mystery. So, okay, that's impossible. But here is my goal for you today. It's this: for you to connect more deeply to the epicenter of our glorious, powerful, holy, and merciful God. And God is all those things, right? God is powerful. Is that the core essence of Him? God is holy. Is that the essence of God? Spoiler alert, it's love. Love. The foundational essence of God is extravagant love. God is love and He loves you. Have you heard that before? Do you need to hear it again? Yes. Yes, we do. The more you understand and receive the love of God, the stronger your faith becomes. Because faith and love have a direct relationship. So the more you recognize the vastness of God's love, you can't help but sink into His embrace and trust Him more. Now, some people try to build their faith on a different foundation, like knowledge or power or good works, but any foundation other than the love of God will fail you. The Apostle Paul writes about this in his letter to the Galatians when he says, "Faith and law gains you nothing. The only thing that counts is faith expressed through love." And in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." And then skip a few verses down. He says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Why is love the greatest? Because God is relational, and His divine love invites us into relationship with Him. Love is the reason He created us. Love is the reason He made covenant with us. Love is the reason He sent His Son to make a new covenant when we broke the old covenant. Love is the reason Jesus came. Love is the reason Jesus died. Love is the reason the tomb is empty. Love is the promise He is coming again. Yes, God is holy. And yes, God is powerful. And yes, God is merciful. Every characteristic of God is an extension of His love. Now, New Testament was written in Greek, and there are several Greek words for love, and each have a different meaning, but the New Testament Greek word that describes God's extravagant love is the word agape. Now, in English, when you use the word love, you can say, "I love my mom. I love tacos." And hopefully you mean two different things when you say the same word. But I want you to know God's love for you is not your love for your favorite TV show. That's not His love. God's love is agape love. It's the highest form of love. It's an esteem not based on the value or the merit of the object being loved, but originating within God Himself. It's selfless, it's sacrificial, Agape love seeks the best for someone else regardless of reciprocation. God's love is perfect because it's based on Him. It's not based on us. We are the imperfect beneficiaries of His perfect love. This is the beautiful truth. God is love, and He loves you. Everything God is and does flows from love, and everything He has done for you reflects His love. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, I know God's love, but we don't live on a love bubble. This world is riddled with pain and lack and heartache and hunger and conflict and war and death. Beautiful truth. God is love, and He loves you. And everything God is and does flows from His love, and everything He has done for you reflects His love. But there's also a difficult truth. Not everything done to you reflects His love. And not everything you've done reflects His love. So to explain the beautiful and difficult truth, we have to go back before creation, before the beginning. There is one God, eternally existing, in three equal, divine, and distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One triune God existing in the relational unity and harmony of love. So God Himself, having always been in loving relationship, He chooses more relationship, creating humanity and inviting them into this loving relationship. And because love has a choice, God equips us to choose relationship with Him. Right? What an honor. Choice. So people have the choice to love or not. That's why not everything done to you reflects His love. And that's why not everything you've done reflects His love. That's why we all need every single imperfect soul on the planet. That's why we need His grace. Everyone say grace. Can we sidebar about grace for a second? Just for a second? I mean, it's a whole other message, and we can't go there, and there's no time. There's no time to talk about grace. But I'm going to say this. His grace is the redeeming arms of His love. Have you ever hugged someone who didn't hug you back? It's awkward. It gets real awkward. I'm a hugger, but not everyone's a hugger, and that's okay. I try to respectfully remember that about a person, because if I really love someone, I'm not going to force a hug on them, right? I want to love you where you're at. If you're a fist bumper, if you're a high fiver, maybe you're just a nodder. Whatever's comfortable for you, I will oblige. Because love isn't a show of force, it's a show of honor. So God's love for you, this agape love, this love, it's everlasting. It existed before your first breath. It'll exist after your final breath. It's immeasurable. It's unearned. Can't earn it. You can't earn it. It's undeserved. But as perfect and limitless as this love is, it is not forced upon you. God doesn't bound into the room and bear hug you without your permission. He loves you too much to do that, because He loves you too much to do that. Because love isn't a show of force, it's a show of honor. So instead, here's what God does. God opens His redeeming arms of unconditional love, and He waits. His love pours out for you. His blood pours out for you. And he waits for you to make a choice. And we can say, no, I'm not putting my faith in you. I reject your hug. Or we can say, yes, Jesus, I choose you back. I choose you back. I choose you. I trust you as my Savior and my Lord. I receive your hug, and then God wraps his redeeming arms around us. His hug is grace. His embrace is grace. What a gift! Isn't that a gift? You have been saved by grace through faith, which is your yes. You're saying, yes, hug me. I'm all in. Yes. And that empowers, it redeems, it reconciles. What a gift. Okay, sidebar over. Sidebar over. Here's the kicker. Regardless of the answer that we give him, he calls us beloved. Beloved, that means the agaped ones. Every person on this planet is beloved. It's the most well-known verse for a reason. John 3:16. For God so what? The world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And some of you might go, well, that's not talking about everybody. That's just talking about people who are saved. You know what? Love predestined everyone. But love is not a show of force. Love doesn't make everyone. But love wants everyone. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness, an everlasting love. Now, no matter how many times we hear or read that God's love, that he loves us, and God loves you. However, it's still hard for some people. It's still hard for some people. We are fostering to adopt our 5-year-old daughter. And she is brilliant and funny. She is thoughtful and loving. She's adventurous. She's also willful and sassy. And that means she's going to be a great leader one day. Last week, she exhibited some rude behavior. And so I was explaining to her, when you do this thing, that's rude. And we don't want to treat people like that. And we were just having a conversation. And all of a sudden, her eyes welled up with tears. And she looked at me and she said, are you going to give me away? These are the words of someone who feels that their worth is based on performance. So, my daughter's life experience has taught her, when I'm charming, people like me, and when I make mistakes, I go to a new house. So, for the past 18 months, our family has devoted ourselves to loving and nurturing and instilling value in this precious child. She became my daughter the moment I got the phone call and I first heard her name. And she became Scott's daughter the moment she first walked into our house and said, I like your pretty house. So my daughter, whom I love, looks at me and says, are you going to give me away? And so I took her angelic, worried face in my hands and I said, look at my eyes. I love you. Your rude words don't make me love you less. Your kind words don't make me love you more. On your best day, I love you, and on your worst day, I love you. You're in our family forever. We are never giving you away. And she smiled and she melted in my arms. She's a hugger like her mama. Your worth is not based on your performance. Your worth is based on His love. Your identity is beloved. You are His beloved. And you know what Jesus would say to you if He could take your face in His hands? He would say, look in my eyes. I love you. Your rude words don't make me love you less. Your kind words don't make me love you more. On your best day, I love you. And on your worst day, I love you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are loved by the God of this universe deeply and dearly. And it's never made more clear than through Jesus. You can trust everything that Jesus ever said or did because it was out of love for you. It was out of love for you. But here's what some of us think. I know Jesus loves me, but I think God's mad at me. The Trinity is hard, you guys. This passage may help you. Colossians 1:15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Jesus is not one-third God. All the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus is God. Jesus loves you. Say this. Say, I am His beloved. Now close your eyes and say it again. I am His beloved. Receive that truth in a fresh way this morning by the Holy Spirit. You are His beloved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was part one. Are you ready for part two? Jesus says in John 13, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What kind of love is he talking about here? Maybe it's one of those other Greek words for love. Maybe it's like that phileo, is it? Like friendship? Maybe he's talking about friendship. No, I checked. It's agape, the highest, most sacrificial, most honorable, unconditional God-originating love. He wants you to love like that. A new command I give you, agape one another as I have agaped you. I mean, God agape loving us, that's incredible. That's life-changing. That's all the warmth and fuzzies. Oh, it's so good. But us agape loving others, that's uncomfortable. That's challenging. If this seems hard to you, you're reading it correctly. And if this seems easy to do, you might be misunderstanding or underestimating what Jesus is saying, if this looks easy. So because probably all of us, we have someone or someones who make this difficult in our lives. Who tests your patience? Who makes you angry? Whose mistakes can you not let go of? Who can you not tolerate? Who would you never invite over your house for dinner? Mel, when I heard you were preaching on love, I was kind of expecting a puff piece. I can say I love, but can I say I have the agape love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13? Because there it lists the attributes that flow from God's agape love. So let's look at the characteristics. Let's see how we do. Agape love is patient. I lost patience with my kids yesterday. I lose patience when I'm behind someone going 35 and a 45. If you've ever said, "Are you kidding me? Seriously? Or what is happening right now?" you may struggle with patience. So I'm 0 for 1. I don't know about you. I'm already 0 for 1. Let's look at the second attribute. Love is kind. There's this kid in our neighborhood. He's mean to my son. He makes fun of him. He calls him names. He pushes him around. And if I'm driving and this kid's walking on the street, I wave. He never waves back. He's never waved back. So one day I'm driving home, and I see this kid walking down the street, and I think, there he is, my son's nemesis. And I decide something. I go, I'm not waving at that kid. I just thought, I'm going to drive right by. I'm not going to wave at you so you know how much I disapprove of your behavior. And immediately the Lord was like, what about your behavior? And then I felt icky inside because I had just ignored a child on purpose. Me. I love kids more than anything. I've been in children's ministry longer than I've been alive. I love kids. And I treated a child like they weren't there. I mean, how unkind and unchristlike is that? And unkindness was a symptom of my root issue. My root issue was judgment. You were mean to my kid. I'm not going to wave at you. But I wasn't just not waving. I was withholding love. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I have to love them, but I don't have to like them? Here's the problem with that philosophy. Dislike leads you down one of two paths, disregard or disdain. And either path is withholding love. Either way. So we choose love, or we choose to withhold love. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If perfect love casts out fear, withholding love perpetuates fear. So refusing to wave was my passive-aggressive form of punishment, which perpetuates fear. Fear. Okay, so I didn't wave at the kid. The kid probably didn't care. The Spirit of God cares, because the Spirit of God is agape, and agape is always kind. So my unkindness grieved the Holy Spirit, and I felt that grief in my spirit, and that, dear friends, is called conviction. Now, you could say, Mel, you didn't wave at him. It's not like you got out of the car and pushed him down. Well, there's a difference in that to you, but who says that's different to God? Maybe withholding love is withholding love, no matter how you look at it. So I was repenting before I even got in my driveway. And like this entire event took less than 10 seconds, by the way. This whole thing took place in less than 10 seconds, but the lesson will last a lifetime. So I told the Lord I was sorry, and the next time I saw that child on the street as I was driving past, I not only waved like a crazy person, but I, while my hand was up, I prayed a blessing over that kid. And I know what you want to ask me. Melissa, did he wave back? No. No. Love says, I see you. I see you. You're a priceless creation of God. I value your life. I give praise to God for your existence. Agape love glorifies God even as something as simple as a wave. So imagine what happens when we let it flow from like our words and the things we do. Imagine that. Agape is patient. Agape is kind. It does not envy because it's so grateful. It's so overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving. It can't be jealous. It does not boast. It's incredibly humble. It just seeks to redirect everything back to the love of God to give him glory. It is not proud. It doesn't think it's right all the time. It's soft. It's teachable. It does not dishonor others because agape esteems other people. It is not self-seeking. It's just others-focused. Sees others. It is not easily angered. It's well-tempered. It's well-tempered. It keeps no record of wrongs because it knows what forgiveness is. It truly forgives. Agape does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Now, some of you might be thinking, you may have thought, I get agape love, but there's just a destructive person in my life. How am I supposed to do this? Agape love protects. It sets healthy boundaries. Agape is wise. It's not foolish. And remember, agape is unconditional, but the attributes that flow out of it can be conditional. For example, grace is conditional. It's conditional upon that you accept it. Because love isn't a show of force. It's a show of honor. So love protects. We can set wise and healthy boundaries. Agape always trusts. Agape always hopes. You know, you can find something to like about everybody. Stop saying I'll love them, but I don't have to like them. Because there is a piece of the Creator in every human being that doesn't exist anywhere else. You can find something to like. At least hope that you can. Agape hopes. It always perseveres. You know, agape never withholds love. From the smallest gesture to the biggest, it doesn't withhold love. Agape is love without exemption, exception, or exclusion. So, agape, your spouse, agape, love your child. Well, of course I love my family. Well, that's good. Then it should be even easier to agape love them as well. Agape the old, agape the young, agape your neighbor, agape the stranger, agape your enemy. Jesus said it first. Jesus said it first. Agape everyone. Here's really good news. Jesus himself prayed we would have this agape love in John 17. He's praying to the Father and he says, I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them. God, the relationship that we've always enjoyed, that triune nature of the perfect unity and harmony, that love that is unconditional and beautiful and relentless, that love may be in them. In Romans 5:5, Paul says, "Now this hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Oh yeah, that's right, yay! We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of us. But wait, why is it still so hard? What's the solution for this problem when we have a lack of love? What can we do about that? The answer is greater love. Greater love. Okay, but how do we grow greater love? If only Jesus had talked about greater love. Oh, he did. John 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Yes, Jesus is speaking of the love he's about to demonstrate through death on a cross, but there's more to it. Listen to this passage in 1 John 3. This is how we know what love is. Oh, good, this is how we know. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Oh, good. And, there's an and. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. If I want to grow in the agape characteristic of patience, I have to lay down my need for control. If I want to grow in the agape characteristic of humility, I have to lay down my need for recognition. If I want to grow in the agape characteristic of forgiveness, I have to lay down my need for blame. For us, it's not dying on a cross. Jesus did that. It's dying to ourselves. It's yielding our spirit to his Holy Spirit. And every time we submit to the Holy Spirit, we crucify the selfish, self-absorbed, and self-centered places within us. Agape is selfless. Agape loves regardless of the response that it gets back. And the agape love of God is the Holy Spirit of God at work in you and through you when you've chosen to surrender to it day after day, circumstance after circumstance, difficult person after difficult person. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For, here's our money shot, God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Agape, everyone. How would your life be different if you flowed in agape love to all those around you? How would the world look different if the church flowed in agape love? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your Spirit of love within us. May we pursue your call to love one another as you have loved us. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to better express agape, because that is how the world will know we love you. They will know we follow you by our love. May your strength be made perfect in our weakness, so we can choose greater love and lay down our lives.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit gchurch.net for more information about this podcast and other resources.
Everybody say-